Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for taking time to listen to our broadcast this morning. We hope you do this each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also have a TV program entitled Searching the Scriptures. It airs from 8 to 8:30 on Public Access Channel number 6 on your television. Please give it a look. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchristatharrisburg.com. You'll find many valuable resources, including this radio program, TV program, and a host of other Bible-related material that will help you in your study of God's Word. Please give it a look. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the regular meeting time of our services at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any and all these services. You will always be warmly received. Our only desire is to show you your need for God in your life and to have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ, that you might begin here on earth and last throughout eternity. Please come and visit us. We are looking at the subject of sin. Last week, we began a study of the nature of temptation. We're going to continue that discussion this morning. Jesus was tempted to sin, as we can read about in the Bible. There was a time when this was believed by all Christians, but some have stopped teaching and preaching that Jesus was tempted. The scripture plainly teaches that he was tempted and yet without sin. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 15, it says he was tempted in all ways like as we, yet without sin. Satan used the same approach to Jesus as he does when he tempts us. We read this. Let's read first of all the avenues of temptation there in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. And so these are the avenues of sin. The avenues of sin are the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Now, Satan used this same approach when he tempted the Lord. Let's read about the temptations of Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Matthew 4, 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. And when the tempter came, he said to him, If you are the Son of God, command these stones be become bread. And he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Then the devil took him up into a holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, It is written again, You shall not tempt the Lord your God. Again, the devil took him up an exceeding high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, All these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. Jesus said to him, Away with you, Satan, for it is written, You shall worship the Lord your God, him only shall you serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, the angels came and ministered to him. Now in this account, we see that Jesus was tempted in three ways. Satan tried to get Jesus to use his powers to alleviate the suffering of the moment. He tempted him to turn the stones into bread. Was it wrong to make food miraculously? No. Jesus had multiplied the bread and the fishes in earlier miracles that we read about in the Bible. Jesus reminded Satan that serving God was more the most important thing. Are material things more important than physical things or spiritual things? Of course not. Is food that is important to sell one's birthright? No. Esau found that out in Genesis, in the book of Genesis. His answer was that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You see, Satan used the same approach on us, trying to convince us that the things of the world are more important than God. And again, Jesus said they're not, and we should say that they're not. Next, Satan tried to get Jesus to test his Father. Satan appealed to the vainglory of life, appeals to the spectacular, the glorious. He wanted Jesus to show his power for all to see. This would impress men and cause them to flock around him and after him. The angels will save you. What a beginning to your public work. Make a splash. Feed men's ego. Very popular today. Think about the downfall of many TV preachers. Sincere motive gave away to the power, the lights, the money, and the fame. Sadly, they compromised their future and their souls for popularity and money. Once again, Jesus faced and overcame temptation without any edge over us. Again, he refers Satan to the book in Matthew 4 and verse 7. Satan's final appeal was made to get Jesus to take a shortcut, a buyout, a compromise. Jesus spoke on this latter temptation in a later occasion in Matthew 16, 21 through 23. How much do you make Jesus cave in? Did the devil think it might work? If not, why tempt him? Everyone has a price, right? Well, so people think. Problem is, Satan cannot deliver on his promises. Jesus knew that the suffering must precede his glory. He understood that. He understood that when he left heaven. He understood it then. Therefore, he rejected Satan's offer of power in return for serving him. Matthew 4 and verse 10. Jesus didn't know the escape these temptations of the world. He lived in a body of flesh and blood and was not exempt from any of those things. He got tired. He got hungry. He got thirsty and was disappointed at times. He showed us that we do not have to give in. And he defeated every time the temptation, whether it's lust of flesh, lust of the eyes, or the pride of life, he defeated with the scriptures. Why? Because that's how we have to resist sin. We resist sin, and we resist the temptations of Satan by overcoming them by using the book. Just as Jesus was tempted in all ways, yet without sin, we must also be tempted, but yet without sin. How do we resist the solicitations to sin that come in our life? Like Jesus, we must be familiar with the scriptures. We must know the word of God. We must know the book. Jesus answered each time with the word of God. It is written. Scripture provides information during times of crisis. Scripture will expose the devices and the deceptions of Satan. It will strengthen our resolve to do the right thing. We should want to please him in all things. That's what we read in 1 John 4, verse 18. And to do that, we must overcome sin by saying no. Just say no. In our country, the people trying to fight the drugs epidemic and getting young people to be addicted to drugs, they say, just say no. That's what we must learn. We must learn to just say no. We can say no to sin. We can say no to the devil. We can resist him. And in 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 11, we're not to be ignorant of Satan's devices, because if we're ignorant of it, he'll gain an advantage over us. And so we must learn to say no, just like Jesus did. And to do that, you must know the scriptures. We must understand that we must put ourselves in a position to be successful and not to fail. How can we do that? Well, let me give you some examples. First of all, we must choose our companions wisely. The faithful can be corrupted when they're wrong, the wrong influence. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, evil companions corrupt good morals. He that lies down with the dogs will rise up with fleas. That's an old proverb saying, but it has a lot of truth. They will try to involve us in their evil. We read about this in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10 through 19. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10 through 19. We begin reading in verse 10. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us look secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive like Sheol and whole like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fill our houses with spoil, casting you lot among us. Let us have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path, lest for their feet run to do evil, and they make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. But they lie wait for their own blood. They lurk secretly for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. It takes away life of its owners. And so we're told to stay away. Stay away from people that would corrupt us and would try to involve us in sin. These serve as the devil's agents, trying to destroy our virtue and advance his cause. Vices are much more contagious than good morals. Seek those who prefer our way of life as Christians, people that will build you up, people that will edify you, people that will strengthen your faith in God. The righteous can help restrain us from the evil influences. How can a Christian grow stronger if they surround themselves with the same folks that did what they did when they lived in the world? Is it not a matter if he or she will fail? No, they're going to fail. The only question then is when. It's difficult to talk to ungodly, act immorally in the presence of those striving to live right. Yet among the old gang, we can continue to act and to talk and to think like the devil without any reproof. We need to understand that there's a danger here. There's a danger when we surround ourselves with people who would influence to live for the devil, who would encourage us to commit sin, who would do things that we know are wrong and sinful, contrary to God's will, and they would influence us to do those things that would bring God's wrath upon us. We must be smarter. We must be more diligent to put ourselves around people who will encourage us and will try to help us, lift us up, to encourage us to live for God and not to live for the moment or to live for the world. We choose our friends, we choose our acquaintances, and we choose the situation that we put ourselves into. Young people, why would you go to a party where you know that they're going to be drinking, there's going to be immorality, there's going to be things there that you know that you're not supposed to do, things that you've chosen not to do in your life? Why would you put yourself in that position to be influenced and pressure be brought down upon you to try to conform to that lifestyle of your friends? Why would you put yourself in that position? That is a mistake. And that's often a mistake that young people make. Oh, I won't do that. I know that's wrong. I'll refrain from that. Well, that's easy when you're not faced with it. That's easy when the peer pressure is not around you, trying to get you to conform. But it becomes much more difficult when we put ourselves in a position to fail. And so again, why would you put yourself in that position? Be smarter and don't place yourself where you're going to have to be encouraged or influenced to do that which you would be ashamed of. When we come to Christ and when we accept Him and we become one of His children, we live a different type of life. We march to the beat of a different drum. We have a different purpose. We have a different focus. And if we're going to resist sin, then we're going to have to put people around us and be in situations that will not lead us into sin, that will not tempt us to sin, that will not allow us to compromise our values and our integrity. But again, we can make the mistake by compromising, by putting ourselves in positions that would lead us into places that God would not want us to be. We're going to have to be smarter than that. We're going to have to look to God and to His ways in order that we might not be led into sin. Again, Jesus was tempted in all ways, lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, pride of life. We'll be tempted in those same ways. We have to say no, just like He said no. We do that by the truth, and we do that by putting ourselves in position with people who will help us live for God and not live for self. We must put ourselves around people who will influence us to live for Christ and not to live for the devil. Thank you for listening this morning. We hope you'll tune in again next Lord's Day morning as we continue our discussion on the nature of temptation, and we will conclude that particular study next Lord's Day. Have a good day.